With you, the conversation which I was having with David.
It sounds like what he wants to have.
I shared this idea with him last week on the Chumash here Thursday night about the Medrash. According to one opinion, the Medrash, the Klai Yisrael at Mount Tur was already contemplating Chatur. The Medrash goes through like five or six different opinions. At what point Klai Yisrael started contemplating Chatur? One opinion says they were one day they were true to Hashem, and the third day is when they were playing with the thought of the egg, until eventually they did it. One said it was 11 days, one said it was 29 days, you know, one said it was 2 days. And the mayor says, under the chuppah, by our Sinai, they're thinking about the egg. That's the matter. So I said, that sounds strange. They're saying Nasa Mishma, and you know, and they're getting sorum for it, which means the Malachim are being disqualified by how the Madrega that they got to. And the mayor is bringing a pasuk that's really a setego. So I've said this there before. I just want to bring up one point that. A person comes to Baal Teshuva. So what does he do? He sits and contemplates life and what Judaism has to offer, and he realizes that what Yiddishkeit has to offer, what the Torah has to offer, is extraordinary. So in a certain sense, what's happening over here is we have no instrument to make the decision other than our mind. So we use our mind to think about it, we make the decision. It's beautiful, it's extraordinary. But there's a danger there at the same time, because that means I'm the arbiter of right and wrong, and I decided that God got it right. That's it. The Torah is right. The Torah is good. The Torah makes sense. So it means I'm really smart, and I can figure out what the Torah makes sense. So, one day, a few weeks later, I said, you know what? It doesn't make any sense anymore. It's Torah. How do you go from 40 days from Har Sinai to Dun Kategu?
Where are you now?
So the mayor was saying there was in the Nasa Venetian, which Klai Yisrael decided, it means Klai Yisrael came to recognize that the Kodesh Baruch Hu was right. Then there's a step there which is dangerous. Avraham Avinu sat there and contemplated the breed. He lived in a world where, like the Rabbah talked about before, that it's a world of Achzorius. The Avodah Zorahs were totally callous and totally indifferent to the sufferings of the world. And he recognized that's not what the world was about. The world was about a loving God who cares, who wants to make it to the breed. So I'm going to anybody who's broken to the same. To the point that Russian reveals himself to him and says, okay, great, take your wife and throw her into the midbar. Take your son and shecht him. What's the reaction supposed to be? So if I, with my wonderful mind, realize that, you know, that the world is a good world and God is a good God, and that's why I like him, that's why I follow him, I say, excuse me, God, oh, he's God. Because you're wrong. Can't be.
Yeah.
So then I'm not serving God. Even when I'm listening to him, I'm not serving him, I'm serving my own mind. I'm bowing down to the wonderful intellect of Eli Reinl, saying Eli Reinl is such a smart guy, he got it right. So therefore I'm gonna do what the Torah says, because the Torah makes sense to me. So I'm the smart guy. I'm the decider, and I decide that the Torah makes sense. Now the Torah doesn't make sense. See, if I never decide that, I'm not serving God, I'm serving me. That's what Meir said. That's what Azor read. The Bodhazor was already in my Mashas Mat and Torah.
So what's the answer?
What's the answer?
I mean, Avraham also uses his mind.
Now, what's the other choice? The only vehicle we have to make the decision is our mind, right? The only so much we have to think about it is our mind. But let's take it one step back and think about it for a second, right? There's an element of, if we look at that objectively from the outside, there is an element of what here which is comical, right? The guy walks into physics class, you know, and he looks up at the professor as Albert Einstein. Wow, you know. And Einstein presents, you know, some physics point, etc. I say, 1 second, let me think about it. You know what? Professor, I decide you're right. You got it right. I'm happy for you. Professor says, thank you so much. I'm a little bit worried I got it right, but now that this first year physicist has said I got it right, I feel much better. That's what's happening. This human being, some of the God, is saying, you know what, God, I really thought about it. I decided the Torah is that. Rashi says, thank you so much. I feel so validated. It's comical to some extent. But we're not, but religion believes in blind faith. So let's go back to my physics student. All right, what's the goal of the professor in that class? He knows that he's right. He wants the student to understand why he's right. But at the same time, as he's supposed to understand why he's right, he's supposed to understand that there's going to be things which you don't understand yet because your understanding of physics is limited. No, I'm not saying Einstein is infallible. You know, that's a different issue. Okay? I'm using that as a muscle. You know. The gap between Einstein and your first year physics student is usually enough that we understand, visibly for our purposes, he's basically infallible for what the student's going to figure out at that point. You know, once the student knows a little more physics, he might point out, you know, there's a problem here. Okay, good. You know, that's how Einstein argued with Newton. You know, he came up with a new theory. Right? And he actually developed that theory already as a young man. It just took him years before he actually presented it. But, you know, he started developing it already in his teens or 20s. Right? I mean, up to that point, Newton was so ironclad that anybody, you know, who disagrees with him, like, was an idiot, you know. Until Einstein proved that he was right. And just like Newton withstood the test of 300 years, so Einstein has, some of his theories have been proven just as recently as last year. Some of the theories have been, you know, the facts have now been able to test it to the point that they've proven some of the theories. It took 100 years before they were able to develop a test or have the ability to test it. Okay, great. But for our purposes, let's, you know, not get involved in the fallibility point. Right? So, I have religion. So listen, professor says so, you say, thank you, professor, holy professor, I bow my head to the professor. That's not what I want you to discuss. I want you to debate. I want you to ask. I want you to understand. But you also have to understand at the same time that I'm offering you something which is way beyond your ability at this point in time, and I would love you should understand it, because that's how you're going to really absorb it and connect to it, and that's what I want you to do. But don't lose sight of the fact that if it doesn't make sense to you, it doesn't mean it's not right. Because if it's all about your wonderful intellect, it doesn't make sense to you, it's raw. So then even when it's right, it's not that I'm right, it's that you agree with the idea. It's the famous phrase, seeing is not believing, you know. People say seeing is believing. Seeing is not believing. But I see it, I don't have to believe it anymore. I see it. Believing is what I tell you, and you can't see it, and you believe me anyway. That's called believing. Right? So that's the challenge which we have. So then I said the last point which we talked about is this. So I'm taking away the guy's arrogance. Right? So he asked me, like, you need to be arrogant a little bit. That the reason why we're able to come up with these new ideas and realize it is because people have the confidence in their thoughts to present it, even though it seems to be because they believe in themselves. So they're comfortable presenting this new idea, which opens up the world sometimes. Imagine Einstein had not had the self-confidence to believe in this. He's like, it must be, I'm wrong. It doesn't make it. Nobody believes in me. Nobody believes in me. Okay, where would we be now? I don't know. You know, better world, not better world. So I said, okay, let's change. So Moshe is intellectual. Igor's Moshe Chelikal. Moshe was a tremendous honor. Moshe has children over there. He mamish takes on major issues, major psukim over there. Right? Like, I mean, you don't see a steer in there to some extent at first glance. So Moshe says, like, you know, it's more uncertain. Right? The person who the Talmud Shlagila Hurah and his Mara is Chai Misvei Shemayim. Talmud Shlagila Hurah, but and a Mara is also Chai Misvei Shemayim. So you're walking on the blade of a knife. Right? You have to recognize. So what am I supposed to do? Right? So imagine like this. Imagine that somebody else comes to me, right? And he says, you know, I wrote up this shuga about X. You know, I'm wondering, like, should I publish it? Because who am I to publish such a shuga? So I take a look at the shuga and I said, this is an extraordinary tshuva. This is a very important topic. It's well presented. It needs to be public, right? So he trusts me that I'm knowledgeable enough, and he publishes it. There's no guy involved in that, right? A person who's comfortable enough with himself, he doesn't really care what would people think about him, and he doesn't define himself by other people. He doesn't need anybody else's approbation. Has ability to make that decision from outside about himself, because Kolzman, I'm busy making sure that everybody thinks I'm good, so it's about me. He says, where do you see, where's the test? The test is when we prove him wrong, how does it react? So it wasn't about me the whole time, so he says thank you. Now that I know, I want to know the evidence. It's not about me, it's about the evidence. This is an important show with clients will need to know. I realize there's a mistake. Okay, so I retract the show, no problem. If it's about me proving myself to the world, I'm going to get upset. Like, you know, because now I'm being attacked, not the truth. Now, if the truth is attacked, and I believe that it's still right, so I will defend it. But if I realize that it's wrong, that's why I always say, like, you know, the guys have a final learning, and they have to tell the guys right. They say, I hear. They can't say, "Pemwale, wow, that's so beautiful. Your pshat is so beautiful. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much for teaching me the right pshat." Say, I hear, because that's because my ego is about. In the picture over here, my self worth is involved in it. Right. These Gedarlim who are putting out these shuvahs, like, you know, Ramosh is shuvah about the Brooklyn area.
It's not a discrete.
Menashe Klein has about 150 pages of response. The first 30 pages is about the right for him to argue against Ramosh, against the Golod Dor. Is there a right for Talmud to be? To argue and with Israel. He has to be misnatzel why he has a right to write a tshuva against Ramosh. So Ramosh writes back and says, like, yeah, he's the stupidest thing in the world. Of course you can argue with me. I'm not the last word in the Torah. Now, let's get to down to, you know, make it, that's the first 30 pages of the you know, but him, like, was ridiculous. So it was like, you know, like, he didn't know how to eat it. You know, anyway, so now let's go down to your point, you know, and then, you know, discuss the point. He has his response.
Yeah. Today the minhag is
sometimes.
This is much what we're talking about in this piece. Ali Shur last.
The Ravid versus the Rambam. So you find it, or the Gemara has a lot of sharp lashonos against each other. So I guess there's a. I think we've talked about it before, but it's like because you've talked about how when you in your mind where there's the reality and there's nothing else that can be right. So that's the only way you see it.
You need to protect it. Because Demis. You feel Demis, so you need to protect it.
And then you like, you rail against somebody else who has a different opinion. I mean, you see that.
Yeah, but that's not what I'm saying. That's true. And I feel it's Demis, I'm going to defend it. I can defend it strongly. But the moment I realize it's not Demis, what happens then? If it was about me, that's a very difficult moment. If it was about the terror, about the Demis, I don't know. I'm so happy you saved me from a mistake. Right? Imagine the Rambam and the Rambam met, and the Rambam argued and followed the Rambam, and you know, and they back and forth, and the Rambam is right. He says, "Thank you very much." Now we don't think that's what he's saying over here. You can get a point that the hispat lusay is the whole process of hasaga is mamish. The awareness of a kodesh baruch Hu, at the same moment, the being master kodesh baruch Hu was an extraordinary godless of Adam, and it's also you become aware of the gap at that moment. It's like, you know, like, I'm thinking I'm big enough to think of recognize Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's like the foolish thing in the world. It's like the student, the objective was sort of watching the student saying Einstein is right. But that's what we want you to do. You need to sit in the class and think about why what he said makes sense, and you know, and you did great. But at the same time, there's an element of pusha in that thought process. That's almost the point that we're at.